30-year anniversary of Nick's Place celebration continues live in the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, currently being occupied by this dude, Paul Gallant.
We're going to do our pick six in about 15 minutes. We picked the six best games of the weekend, and since it's college football championship weekend, we'll be talking about one big game taking place in state, and I gotta say, perhaps the biggest bulletin board, literally biggest bulletin board material of all time. It's on the table for the Texas Longhorns. But first, guys, we gotta talk about something really controversial that happened in the world of sports. Something that might be the most controversial thing we've seen in this category since 1938. And I'm, of course, talking about Sports Illustrated's esteemed Sports Person of the Year. The tweet, which may have been created by artificial intelligence, and specifically that one guy for Sports Illustrated, what's his name, Drew Ortiz, who has a picture of him that was created by artificial intelligence that says, like, token white man. Here's the tweet from Sports Illustrated. Coach Prime is here, and he's just getting started. Deion Sanders is SI's 2023 Sports Person of the Year. And they went 4-8, and they lost their last six games. So it's a little controversial, no? Maybe they're doing it because he's somebody that generated the most attention in the sports world this past year, because that's generally what Time magazine does. I don't know how many people are familiar with the history of the Time magazine Man of the Year, but Hitler and Stalin went back-to-back in 38 and 39 on that. Richard Nixon won it twice. The Ayatollah won it. Bill Clinton and Ken Starr won it for the Monica Lewinsky scandal. Like, it happens in a way where I think that for all time, they've just picked someone controversial that will create attention and probably sell magazines. Who'd have thought that someone would stoop so low? But it does have me thinking, you know, with this in mind, who is Houston's 2023 Sports Person of the Year? And you got to do it in the same way that Sports Illustrated did it. No, not with artificial intelligence. You have to do it in a way where, well, it's not like it's the best player or best person in Houston. And I have the answer, because no one created more buzz, no one created more anger, more tears, more fears than the Houston 2023 Sports Person of the Year, Martin Maldonado. No one else is clapping, but I'm clapping, because Martin Maldonado is based off of Deion Sanders being Coach of the Year, has to be the Houston Sports Person of the Year. Who created more anger, more rage than Martin Maldonado over the course of the past year? The amount of days that I showed up to work seeing people crying online about Maldonado being in the lineup were too many, and was part of my annoyance with Martin Maldonado, the Martin Maldonado hatred, based on the fact that I didn't have the energy to go on Twitter every single day and check the Astros lineup out and then tweet, like, what's wrong with Dusty's lineup afterwards. But that was part of it, but I think Martin Maldonado is the 2023 Houston Sports Person of the Year. You could also make the argument for Dusty Baker, but Sean Mapes, back at Mission Control, I feel like I nailed this. I think I nailed this. Like, some people are going to say C.J. Stroud. Others are going to say D'Amico Ryans. Maybe someone says Cal McNair. Other people might say Jeff Bagwell as far as Houston Sports Person of the Year. But it's got to be our guy, Martin Maldonado. Got him.
See, I go with Dusty Baker because he's the one pulling the strings. We also had the iconic
nice debate.
What? Yeah, we also had the iconic Chaz McCormick banana pudding incident that took place this year. We had just his general temperament, him saying that blog boys in their 30s made him retire. I think that's the. I think I go with Dusty. Either Dusty
it's
or
a good call.
I think also Cal McNair just would be funny.
How about Hannah McNair for Sports Person of the Year?
Oh, that's a good one, too.
It does feel like Hannah McNair is a little more involved here.
Yeah.
It does feel a little more
involved. Or Nick Caserio, Sports Person of the Year. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ime Udoka.
Ooh, Ime Udoka. I like that. How about Dylan Brooks? I mean, it's been a quick, it's
Sports
been fun.
Villain of the Year.
Yeah. Or Alpi, you know, going from being misused and mistreated by Steven Silas to being the Rockets' best player. We're already getting some fun texts here from the 281. If he was white, would Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year be controversial? Listen, it's going to be hard to outdo Time Magazine in terms of controversy, seeing as, again, they made Hitler and Stalin Person of the Year back in 38 and 39. I don't see color. A lot of people know this about me, but as far as whether or not he's white or black or green or blue or purple or whatever, no, I think ultimately it's going to be controversial, the Sports Person of the Year, if the guy coached a team that sucked. And while it was fun with Deion Sanders at the very beginning of the year, I mean, you lose six games to end the season. That's why people are pushing back against it. It's nothing more than that.
Yeah, yeah, that's why. It's teams 4-8. That's why. It was the loudest 4-8 imaginable. So
yeah,
that's good.
Uh-huh.
And
very
he
loud.
Was. He was probably – he was the biggest story in college football for like 2 months.
And oh, no doubt.
He had more people watching Colorado versus Colorado State that kicked off at like 9 o'clock on Saturday.
Yeah.
He had more people watching that than watch the World Series. So, like he had a great year as far as, like, if you want to do the Sports Person of the Year, like the kind of buzziest person. I mean,
I get you, Sean.
I feel like.
But I think that's like he's the Sports Person of September. Like, I felt like by mid-October, and once they lost to specifically Oregon, I think we were all like, all right. I mean,
I think it was the Oregon and then the USC one where we're like, okay, this thing's
yeah,
like
give a million points.
We kind of know where this is going. And then the Stanford loss was like the, all right, we're done here. That's where even like ESPN and Fox were like, yeah, you know what? They're back to being on Pac-12 Network or playing at 11 o'clock at night.
I'm trying to think of somebody else who would be on the same level. Like the Live Golf Tour stuff, that died once.
Yeah, like when's the last time we've said the words Live Golf?
No, we haven't. Once that handshake went down, yeah, have we even talked about golf really since then? No, it was more fun when the Live Golf Tour was going on. I'm trying to think, like, I guess from a just pound-for-pound creating buzz perspective, like, that 1 month of Deion Sanders was, I guess, the Linsanity of this year.
Oh, did Jeremy Lin win back in 2011? Was that the
You know what? You got to look that up for me. I think it would have been 2012, but I could be wrong.
It would be
funny.
I think
it was March of 2012.
It would be funny if this is, like, the first time they're doing the, what's it called? The, like, Time Magazine version of it where they're being controversial, and then, like, we go back, and it's like all the 2010s was just LeBron and Tom Brady handing it back and forth from each other. Like,
that's true.
It was just the most boring award ever until this year.
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, but listen, this is how you get the numbers. You can't be boring. You can't just give it to the number one winner like you were talking about there. You got to give it to someone fun. So Deion Sanders is the 2023 SI Sports Person of the Year, and Martin Maldonado is the 2023 Houston Sports Person of the Year. Sports Illustrated didn't do that. I did it.
There's a list.
I'm declaring
them.
That.
There's a list.
There's a list?
Yeah.
Okay, who do we got?
Oh, hold on. I need to.
Let's give some similar comparisons. I'll read some text
block.
In the meantime. I'll read some text while you're disabling ad block. From the 713, Rockets coach. He had an affair with someone's wife and got paid. Well, I mean, we're talking about making news. Sure.
2017.
Sure.
2017 for Sports Person of the Year for Sports Illustrated was Jose Altuve and J.J. Watt.
Oh.
And the title was Houston Strong.
Houston Strong. I didn't know that. So this award once had some integrity, but this year not so much. As far as Houston Sports Person of the Year, someone from the 281 texts in, it's Dusty. Houston literally sent him into retirement because of the criticism. That's true. This person also says, I don't get a vote because I'm not from Houston. Actually, I'm more from Houston than you because I'm wearing cowboy boots. Are you wearing cowboy boots right now? Oh, you're not? Oh, hashtag fraud.
In 2004, anyway, the entire Boston Red Sox won the sports.
Hell yeah.
It was called Sportsmen of the Year that year.
Hell yeah.
Well, you Lance know what? Armstrong, 2002.
You know, hey, we're not talking about the best guy.
Yeah.
Although in these situations, it does seem like with the Houston Strong and with Lance Armstrong, it does seem like it was more about them being the best guy.
Curt Schilling but and listen, Randy Johnson won in 01.
Oh. When they stopped New York from avenging 9/11. People don't forget.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's the Margalacho.
Also, Brady and LeBron have won like three each.
Oh, what? LeBron has as many as Brady?
I think so. He might have more. No, they have the same. They have the same amount.
A couple of texts in. What are the odds Paul has tassels on his boots? I mean, wouldn't you like to know? Come out to Nick's place. Come and see and find out. We're going to be here all day long. Coming up next, I got to say, this is one of the worst pranks that we've seen in recent sports memory. I mean, you thought Shasta losing a claw was bad? I mean, my God. We'll talk about it in the pick six next. Holy crap is really all I could say. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stick around. First, let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie. MyBookie.ag. You want to go to the website? Do it. You sign up with promo code BET975. You're going to get a deposit bonus that matches up to your first $1,000. Hell yeah. And you get to play with that money right away. Maybe you're taking a look at some of the NFL action this weekend, and you're thinking to yourself, you know what? It's football time in Houston, and I'm ready to play. Well, guess what, guys? You can bet on the Texans, your beloved Texans, hosting Russell Wilson and the Denver Broncos. The Texans, 3-point favorites. We've seen them play a lot of close games this season, no? I mean, it's every game seems like it's been close over the past 2 months. I got to say, I feel like the Texans can win this game, and Denver can still cover. Whether it's by 1 point or 2 points or something like that, that's what I'm going to say. The Texans win by 3. The Broncos actually cover. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975 for that awesome deposit bonus. It's MyBookie.ag, bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with...
There's a lot of games you can watch this weekend.
He's got another one! Unbelievable! He is gone! Kiss McKinney goodbye!
But Paul Gallant is going to pick six games.
There's six!
Pick six!
Wow, that's got pick six written all over it.
You need to watch.
This is exactly what we needed.
Listen, you can go to mybookie.ag, bet on these games, promo code BET975, but... We've said it once. We'll say it again. We just picked the games to watch.
Paul, what's your record on the year?
Shut up! We just picked the games to watch. We don't play that game with Patrick Crayton, okay? He could do his picks. He could be right. He could allegedly fudge what the numbers are. I've never made those allegations. I just listen to the show and repeat what happens, okay? And do I want to create beef between these two shows as I go off on a bachelor party? Sure. I'm just going to throw a grenade and bye. Anyway, listen, we just picked the games. I don't know what's going to happen. And we usually pick them straight off of vibe. So tonight, the Pac-12 championship. What a way to go out for the Pac-12. You're playing on a Friday night. Your last game ever is on a Friday. It's been a good year for them, though. You got Oregon, 9-point favorites against the Washington Huskies. The Huskies won the first game of this pretty big rivalry in the Pacific Northwest. A rivalry that, sort of like Ohio State and Michigan, was very one-sided until the last couple of years. Michael Penix, Bo Nix. I'm sorry, Bo Nix, I just can't take him seriously. I just can't. What is he in his 12th year of eligibility? Sorry. Can't take him seriously, and I like Michael Penix's last name. read between the lines as you may, but Sean Mapes, I am taking UW to straight up win, not just cover, in the Pac-12 title tonight.
I also like them to cover. I do like Oregon to win, but I do think that this is going to still be a close game. It feels like all the Oregon, like, why we think that they're better than Washington now. Some of it is Washington just hasn't played as well as they were playing basically before they played Oregon. That's kind of like the line of demarcation of their season. And there's rumors about, like, you know, there's the running back Dylan Johnson for Washington walking around in a walking boot.
Right.
Michael Penix has been inaccurate basically since the Oregon game. There's questions about how healthy he is. But Oregon, on the other hand, has just beaten up on all the worst teams in the Pac-12. And then Oregon State last week. Like, that's the reason that they're 9-point favorites on a neutral field against a team they lost to by three. I don't really get that. I think they have enough to win. Also, just like the rematch factor, kind of go with the team that lost the first one, especially now on a neutral field instead of in Seattle. So I like Washington to cover, but Oregon to win.
You also need Oregon to win. You need Oregon to win. Like, you're rooting for Oregon.
I don't need anything to happen, Paul.
Stop. You're a Texas fan. Come on.
That's what you mean.
Yeah.
Really, the biggest one.
Debt to the mob, and you need the game to go one way.
The two biggest ones are the Big 12 game and the ACC game. Those are the two big ones. Those are the two where I need specific results. The Pac 12 one, one of these teams is going to make the playoff. The loser's probably going to miss it anyway. So, I don't think there's a spot opening up in this game.
We're going to get more into this specific story at 11:30, but before the Big 12 title, which is tomorrow at 11 o'clock with Texas 15-point favorites against Oklahoma State, I mean, this is perhaps the worst crime that's ever been committed against a mascot or anything that looks like a mascot since UT students stole Shasta's claw. How dare you take a cat's claw away from it? How dare you? But Stillwater police investigating after dead longhorn found in front of Oklahoma State University frat house. Yeah. Sean Mapes sent me a couple of tweets, like the video of it. It's a dead longhorn on the front yard of the farmhouse fraternity near 3rd and Monroe Street in Stillwater, Oklahoma. When officers arrived, they confirmed the cow was dead. A side note, I get really depressed because sometimes my Instagram algorithm shows me videos of, like, baby cows, and they're very cute, but I know that they grow up into steak, which I love. It bums me out. This is absolutely barbaric what these savages did in Oklahoma. Maybe I shouldn't expect anything more from people in Oklahoma, but just leaving a dead longhorn on the front yard of a frat? Jesus. Anyway, guys, Sean, to bring it back, do you think that the Texas Longhorns players are going to lay it all on the line because of the dead longhorn found at Oklahoma State's campus? Because honestly, like, there's ever been something to run through a wall for. It's that dead longhorn, right?
Yes, dead feature food, yes.
Do you eat longhorns?
I don't
can
think
you
so.
Eat a longhorn?
I don't think.
I think like aren't they for show? Like the you can't eat a longhorn.
I don't know. Someone at Knicks
place can, but you can,
answer.
But they're not good. Okay.
Yeah.
Someone here is telling us that he's wearing an Oklahoma State shirt. Where were you last night? Were you anywhere near? He was in Houston. He's
innocent. Have an alibi,
he's
sir.
He is going to Dallas tonight. All right, so he's gonna be there.
Keep an eye on Bevo. If anyone else is going to,
we will.
Dallas,
keep an
eye
on Bevo.
We got at least one.
Bevo's probably gonna get Secret Service for this game. That's for sure. My God, he's gonna like UT's got boosters. They might hire somebody to watch over Bevo.
They load the cannon with real ammunition this time, just in case.
Seriously. I think Texas wins. I don't know if they cover. But 15 is a lot, but I do think Texas wins the Big 12 title.
Yeah, I'll take them. I'll take them to win. I'll take them to cover. Need style points. They can win by 17. Right? They can do that. Yeah.
You need style points. You think so? Okay, that's a fair point.
Style points don't hurt.
They don't.
Yeah, and Oklahoma State, what they do best on offense, run the ball. Texas is one of the best run defenses in the country. Oklahoma State hasn't really faced anyone like kind of close to Texas's level in run defense, so that should be a tough matchup for Oklahoma State. Just to get some real ball
SEC.
Talk.
Some real ball talk, hell yeah, dude.
Instead of just dead long
SEC. I know. I'm bummed out. I saw the images. I never want to see a dead cow, even though steak by definition a dead cow, making me a massive hypocrite. Georgia, 5.5-point favorites against Alabama in the SEC championship game. Get a load of Kirby Smart and who he just compared Alabama quarterback Jalen Milroe to.
No offense to Tim Tebow, but this guy's different. You know, Tim was, he was just, it was a different running style, you know, very different running style in terms of what they did and how they did things. This guy's, it's like when I used to ask my sons who they were playing with on the Madden game, and they would say, I'm playing with the Ravens, and I would say, why are you playing with the Ravens? And they would say, they got Lamar Jackson, and nobody can tackle him. Well, this guy's a bigger physical version of that. He's playing in a different speed than everybody else when you watch it. And that's the way the Madden game was for him. And, the guy throws the ball really well.
So he just compared Jalen Milroe to Tim Tebow. I think that means that Georgia is focused. So Georgia, I think they're going to cover by 5.5 plus against Alabama. Sean Mapes, Bama is playing better of late, that's for sure.
Yeah,
although that game against Auburn was a lot too close for them.
Yeah, that one's a tough one. It is an interesting spot.
It is a
rivalry
game.
Yeah, it is, and it's also an interesting spot where like Saban can be like, hey, like time to lock it. He can really dig into him. But I do think that Georgia's just too much. It's really less about Georgia's defense, more about their offense. Their offense is going to be the best one that Alabama faced, probably since Texas, at least. Like, easily the best one they've played since Texas.
Yeah.
So, give me the dogs.
Dogs. You got that dog in you.
Yeah.
it's more like a... It's not what you just did.
Sorry.
It's better than that.
I'll work
Thank
on
you.
It.
Well, we're the dog pound here. All right, we can pick one of these two games. The Big Ten Championship with Michigan, 22-point favorites against Iowa, who can't score any points. Yeah, that game sucks. Don't watch it. It's Big Ten football. Michigan's going to win by 300. Let's go to the ACC title game. Florida State, a 1.5-point favorite against Louisville to wrap up your Power 5 Conference Championship games this weekend. This is tricky because obviously Jordan Travis is not there for Florida State. Their quarterback, their Heisman candidate. Should I take Louisville? Should I take them? Especially, on the same day that the basketball coach of Louisville called out one of his players, Tylor Johnson, because he wouldn't play the first half because there weren't any tights for him to wear. Huh. I don't know. I feel like the vibes are going against Louisville right now, so entirely based off of vibes and that coach being horrible to the man who just wanted to wear tights during a basketball game, I think I got to take Florida State in the surprising victory over. Whoa.
So the basketball coach is why you're taking Florida State?
Listen, we make picks for expert reasons here, Sean. Yeah,
I just wanted to.
We've given up on like actually being right or wrong. You know, like we just do this.
Give me Louisville. Need Louisville. Tate Rodemaker, if he's even healthy, because there are some rumors swirling that he might have been concussed at the end of the Florida Gators game. Thank you. Thank you, Gators. It was in the backbreaking targeting penalty that they had to extend a Florida State drive and really put the nail in their own coffin. Classic Florida move, but it might have gotten Tate Rodemaker hurt, which helps Texas. So I'm here. You can't see Paul, but I'm chomping.
Chomp.
Thank you.
Chomp, 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 chomp.
Give me Louisville.
All right. To the NFL we go. No dead Cardinals or Seminoles in that game. No dead Hawkeyes, whatever the hell that is, or Wolverines. No dead Bulldogs or Elephants. The only dead mascot, Husky or Duck, the only dead mascot is a Longhorn for Texas against Oklahoma State. Again, we'll talk more about that at 11:30. The Broncos, the Texans, the noon game on CBS. I did an interview today. I think even though the Texans got the primetime spot, I could be wrong on this, Sean, but I heard that we're not even going to get Nance and Romo. I heard that they're taking the weekend off.
That's fine.
That is really funny.
They probably already had the weekend off, I bet. I bet they like looked at the schedule before the season. They're like, yeah, you can take the week off.
They're like, this weekend sucks.
And then this game's, you know, it's a pretty good game. It's not
they
like,
did have the doubleheader Thanksgiving last week, so
that
maybe,
is true.
Maybe that's it.
That's probably in their contract somewhere.
Yeah. We get a little week off. Hey, if we get Kevin Harlan on the call, that would be great, but that probably means it's going to be Iron Eagle. But whatever the case, Texans 3-point favorites. I think the Broncos cover, but the Texans win. I know that sounds crazy with the 3-point spread, but take a look at all the Texans games this season, and you've seen many games decided by 2 points, not just three. So I think that the Texans are going to win, but I think that the Broncos keep this one close and that we see some late C.J. Stroud magic.
I'm also taking the Texans, but I'm taking them to cover as well. It's football time in Houston, folks.
Are you ready to play?
I am ready to play. I know CJ Stroud is going to be ready to play. I hope the offensive line, whoever's left of them, is ready to play. And yeah, I don't know. I don't really believe in this Broncos team. Like, they've done a good job of kind of mitigating Russell Wilson's effect on the team, both on the field and in the locker room, it seems like. Yeah. I just can't see the. I mean, this would be straight up 2018 Texans level of like insane long win streak for a team we don't think is any good.
That's a great way to look at it.
So give me the Texans here.
Broncos can't stop the run. It's like the worst run defense in the NFL the last 5 weeks, but they have done very well against the pass and specifically like quarterback like Patrick Mahomes. So we'll see, but they should win this game. And I know we've said before, you can't say that about any Texans game this season. 49ers at Eagles. 49ers are 3-point favorites. The Eagles have been lucky of late. Sometimes that is all that it takes. With Brock Purdy on paper, San Francisco should be better than Philadelphia. I don't know by much. I know I'm excited for this game on Sunday. And that I'm going to be making my way home from NRG Stadium as quickly as I can so I can catch at least the second half of the game. I'm going to take the 49ers to win this one on the road and cover.
Yeah, I don't know. So this is in the middle of a pretty tough stretch for the Eagles where they went Cowboys, Chiefs, Bills, although that's not that tough, then Niners, and then they get the Cowboys again. And I don't think they're going to run the table in these games. So I'm just going to pick the Niners just because I don't think the Eagles are going to go undefeated in this stretch. That's not a great reason, but that is a reason.
It is a reason. That is for damn sure. All right. It's the Paul Gallant Show. That's our pick six. Up next, we got to talk about this dead Longhorn at the front of an Oklahoma State frat before the Big 12 title game. Because, I mean, we haven't seen mascot crime or...
Years ago, when Nick's Place began, this guy was riding his tricycle to local swap meets to trade Beanie Babies for baseball cards. It's Paul Gallant, live in the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Actually, fun Beanie Baby fact. I used to create a football league with all of the Beanie Babies that I owned. I created logos for them. I created rosters for them. And I'm not even kidding. There is, on a tape cassette somewhere in my apartment, tape of me calling play-by-play for a football game between Beanie Babies. Yes. Anyway, guys, I mean, a heinous crime has been committed against the Longhorn community. And I don't mean the Texas Longhorn communities. I just mean, for any of our Longhorns that might be out there listening, you can't speak, you're a cow, you're on a farm, your horns are really big, it's probably hard to turn your head. One of you was murdered. A Longhorn was murdered and dumped in front of a frat house at Oklahoma State University. It's a crime. Now, there's a lot of thoughts going through my ADD-riddled mind when I see this. Like, why did they leave it at the front of this frat? why didn't they, like, turn it into a steak? What does longhorn taste like? What would be the tastiest mammal that's not kosher to eat be? The answer is obviously a hippopotamus because they're fat, but, like, they're big, so it probably would taste really good. But also, I don't know. I think seal would probably be pretty good. Not going to lie, dolphin, whale, like, I wouldn't feel good about it, but as long as I don't see the thing actually die, like, I'd be open to it. I'd be open to it. But a poor longhorn has been slaughtered. So, obviously, Texas by 100 now. But because all these players, they're going to think about the dead longhorn in front of the frat house, and they're going to think, you know what? I'm going to lay it all on the line today. I'm going to go all out to win this game because of that random dead longhorn found in a very, very hick situation at Oklahoma State. No offense to all the pokes out there. I mean, Jesus, though. This is about as barbaric as it gets, dead longhorn in front of a frat house before the game. Now, I was looking for other moments of mascot violence. Like, most of them involved the Philadelphia Fanatic, who was the most sued mascot of all time. And obviously, if you watch the movie Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, the Miami Dolphins mascot, he was kidnapped, along with eventually Dan Marino. But really, the only thing I can think about where a mascot or something with a resemblance to a mascot was brutally attacked was when the University of Houston Cougars, before a game in Austin, saw Shasta's front paw caught in the cage door and one toe was severed. Now, you know, the Cougs gang sign does look remarkably similar to the Shocker. And this is like a probably annoying thing that you got to explain every single time that you throw that in public because you're like, hey, no, this isn't a sexual gesture. This is like the school that I went to. But like, not enough is said about the people who I'm sure were University of Houston, either graduates or students. Not enough is said about the people who are handling this cage. Like, not enough is said. I mean, I thought for the longest time that this was a Texas Longhorn student on University of Houston prank. No, this seems like UH like self-inflicted this. It does seem like this is something that UH did to itself. Like, they chopped off their own cougar's toe by closing the door on its gate or the door on its toe right there. Not good. Not good. So there you go, guys. There you go. Some people are offering other mascots that it's probably not kosher to eat, but might taste good. Someone says penguin. Yeah, I bet penguins are very fatty. I bet. You know, you're thinking, like, imagine duck, but like five times the size of a duck. The penguin's probably really good. No doubt. No doubt about it. Another text. Are there moments of devils and violence on devils? I think this text is just wrong, and I don't really understand what it means. But, has there ever been, like, I suppose that every single day that, like, someone goes to church, that there's vengeance being acted upon devils and demons out there, you know?
The Holy Cross Crusaders.
Ooh, yeah, that's true.
Violence inflicted. Not enough people talk about the violence inflicted on the Crusaders, you know?
That's a great point. Like, hey, they were just going to the Holy Land to kill that were there.
And they lost, so they died.
So more of them died. It is interesting that is a common nickname. It's like, hey, let's send these people over there. Oh, they lost to Saladin again. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Crusader is a good name. Just the name, if you take out the historical context of it, you're just like, yeah, Crusader. We go to your high school football team's field and we beat you. But,
well, when I think of Crusader now, Sean, you know what I think about? I think about the white knights of the internet. You know, I think about the guys who are going to ride to the defense of generally, to be specific, like usually a hot woman in sports. Like, I stand with them. I stand with them. Would I do it? I've done four. I just know it goes nowhere. But I used to be one of the white knights. Sir Gallant, he rides nobly on the internet to defend the honor of specifically single reporters. Here's Sir Gallant. Some more text here. Twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. Ooh, that's true. Saints. You know what's funny about
half of
Saints?
Them got
like
murdered. I mean,
yeah, Saints are martyrs. So it kind of explains why the Saints sucked for such a long period of time, right? Like,
hey-o.
They're just reenacting the team. Well, what? Like, generally a Saint got like set on fire or drawn and quartered or something absolutely horrible. This is evil. Appetite after getting crucified. Like, yucks! Some more comments. Virginia Buttonweed. I remember when the Texas Tech horse died running down the stadium ramp. That was sad. That happened? Suppressed Buffalo for Colorado hasn't killed someone yet. Has there been a tiger? Sean's telling me I gotta go to break. What? I just want to talk about violence. Come on. It's the Paul Gallant Show. We're live at Nick's place. Come out. Hang out with us. We got some garbage time next, and race has been canceled. You'll find out why next.
Years ago, when Nick's Place began, this guy was riding his tricycle to local swap meets to trade Beanie Babies for baseball cards. It's Paul Gallant, live in the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios.
We're going to be here all day long, baby. It's lunchtime. Come on out. It's great. It's fun. We were talking about the delectable mascots. Slughorn, I mean, it's a cow. You don't want to leave a cow in the front yard of a frat without, like, I don't know, making a little steak. I feel the text has to be a joke. Let's just say this person talked about a food that is not a food. This person talked about a pet cooked with brandy that was pretty good. He's talking about a dog. Good God, bro. Had some in the Philippines while I was in the Marines. Oh, my God. Another texter says that kangaroo stuff. Delicacy in Australia. Have you ever had kangaroo? Kangaroo, actually, very good. I've had kangaroo before.
Oh, Paul, that's so mean.
Kangaroos are kind of jerks. And also, they're so popular in Australia. So there you go, guys. Another text. Mississippi State ran over their first bulldog with the team bus and buried him at the 50-yard line of the field. Well, that's like a very Mississippi State occurrence. And, bulldogs. Imagine bulldogs. Pound for pound, we're talking about mascots. The bulldogs probably love them. Because, I mean, the things. Poor things. This miserable just slobbered all over the place. Anyway, guys, there you go. Depressing mascot talk. That's not just in Wallaby. Also on the Twitch as well. Someone said that they accidentally had a dog once in South Korea. Oh, well, you still had it. You still had it. You didn't puke it up. Anyway, let's wrap things up with a little bit of garbage time. I'm
only happy when it's garbage. And then I start eating garbage.
If there's one guy up here who knows about total garbage,
garbage,
it's this guy. It's garbage time with Paul Gallant. Let's go.
Let's go.
I don't know how many people were aware of this story, but Rice University, the remains of the founder, have been moved to a family plot because they want to reckon, the school does, with William Willie Rice's ties to slavery. So I think it's a weekend of Rice. What do we remember him? What would be better? Could do something that pays homage to the gingerbread man, R.I.P., in that area in Rice Village. I don't know, but clearly we can't call Rice University Rice University anymore. That's cool. Continuing to roll through garbage time. Ryan Shazier, remember him? Steelers linebacker. a guy who suffered an awful injury ending his NFL career. Well, it seemed he'd been exposed by his wife as a quote liar and a cheater. He sent raunchy text messages to a number in the This is what has been there for since day one. The problem is the actual text itself. To say he sent his business to two books. Or sexual the name. Like the ultimate guy to another one does not movie blow Peter Johnny Depp. My God. Anyway, let's continue to go through garbage time. Did you see, guys, how bad that movies are doing now in the box office? Did you see Wish? Napoleon? So, those two movies cost $200 million or more. There's going to be 14 movies that made its way into movie theaters this year that cost $200 million or more. Of the 14 movies, 7 are from Disney, 9 are sequels or remakes, 5 are Marvel or DC comics. And of all of those movies, only one of these $200 million plus movies has turned profit. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. I'm a little bummed out knowing, John, that Fast and the Furious is probably not one of the first movies. I'm a little bummed out hearing that, because I'm assuming that Fast and the Furious cost all the money. But star-studded cast of actors who play characters who never can die. There you go. And there you go. Anyway, as we continue,
Fast X cost $340 million.
$340 million?
Yeah, but the box office says...
Well, that's a lot of money.
The box office says $714 million as a profit. Or as box office.
$714 million.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, so it's made a profit. Probably a lot of that's international, right? But I mean,
yeah, and listen, I don't think
family.
I don't think the budget takes into account like the marketing and stuff. Like, there's a lot more that goes into it than just like the movie budget, you know?
Yeah, I think you're right. And you always got to splurge on family. You got to splurge on family. So. Seems like we're having some technical difficulties right now, at least based off of all the text messages that I'm getting. But guess what, guys? We are live at Nick's Place. We are going to be here all day long. So come on out. Starting to pack up. Got a couple people sitting here for lunch. Cracking out some brewskis, some drinks, etc. It's going to be a grand old time. We get you ready for a fun weekend of football. Not just the conference championships, but also a huge game for the Houston Texans. Some are calling it the biggest game of the season. I'm calling it the biggest game of the season on Sunday, what will be the biggest day for your life, for my life, just like today, and of course for the Houston Texans playoff life. Here's the key to the game, guys. Before we wrap it up, run the ball. I know, CJ Stroud, offensive player of the month, rookie of the month. Well, guess what? They got to run the football. The Broncos have the worst run defense in the NFL. I think if the Texans run the ball, give it to Devin Singletary a ton, I think that they're ultimately going to end up winning. And for our beloved Texas Longhorns, I mean, if that dead Longhorn isn't enough for them to take down Oklahoma State, I don't know what is. Anyway, guys, that is going to wrap up today's edition of the Paul Gallant Show. Again, we are at Nick's Place all day long. Make sure you subscribe to the Paul Gallant Show podcast, Apple Podcasts, and on Spotify. Check things out on YouTube after the fact. For Sean Mapes back at Mission Control, I am merely Paul Gallant. So long. Farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful weekend. And come on out to Nick's Place. Connor and Beer are up next.